bunch of other ones too, right? Next month, Colossians 4:6, that starts tomorrow. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Okay? God expects us to have answers, and to do that, you got to work. They don't just come. We got to work at it. So we're going through different things, and we're going to look at two questions tonight, as we do every Wednesday. Next week, we'll have answers, but then for three straight Wednesday nights, we will not be having our normal Wednesday night service. The one night will be Vacation Bible School that Wednesday. The following week, we'll be going to camp meeting in Old Time Baptist Church that Wednesday. I believe Pastor Doug Fisher will be preaching. He's one of my favorite preachers. I get a lot out of him. The following week, we'll be going to Hilltop Baptist Church. Brother Kevin Walker and his family will be there for family conference, okay? And so then we'll be coming back with our new schedule, because then we'll be up to September. Now, remember, our new schedule, and I'm going to mention this about 10 times during August, we're going to be starting Wednesday nights at 6:30, starting in September. 6:30 to 7 will be a time of praise and prayer. We'll have time for more singing and more prayer than we usually have, and to get through these prayer letters and praise the Lord and so on and so forth. The kids will be up here. They got to learn how to sing hymns. They got to learn how to pray. They've got to. Boy, in this day and age, they can't just be entertained. They got to know how to sing these hymns and pray. And so there will be nothing for children between 6:30 and 7. I want to strongly urge you to bring them. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm no expert at prayer, but I learned how to pray on Wednesday nights at prayer meeting when I was a boy. All right, and then at 7 o'clock, we'll begin this part of the service with Bible study and kids clubs. It'll be about 45 minutes long, and I know the Gorskys are thrilled about this. 45 minutes instead of an hour and 15. But we'll just try to have a quality time and kids clubs and a Bible study. And we'll be dismissing then about a half hour earlier than we usually do on a Wednesday night. And this has been met with a lot of favor from people that I've been talking to. Who get up. Some people in our church get up at 5 or 6 o'clock to go to work. And sometimes kids have to get up by 6 to get ready for school. And I mean, I don't know why they get up so early, but they got to get on the bus and so on. So there's been some pretty positive things. It won't fit everybody's schedule, but I almost hope that maybe this will help more people come out. But people do what they want, don't they? And no matter what you do, but amen. Maybe they get their wanners fixed. Amen. Amen. All right. People need to get their wanners fixed these days, so that's for sure. Well, tonight we got some questions, and we're going to go through these here. And so you all should have your notes. Tonight we're up to question number 31. And the question is this: is the earth young or old? Is the earth young or old? Who's ever heard of a man by the name of Fred Hoyle? H-O-Y-L-E. What did he do for us, Brother Kelly? That's just a wonderful thing, isn't it? Now tell us. I'm just kidding. The Big Bang. Yeah, wonderful guy. He stood up one day and said, 13.8 billion years ago, there was a Big Bang. With no proof, no evidence, or whatever. But what did Adolf Hitler say? Anybody remember? What is it? That's exactly what Hitler said. You tell a lie long enough and often enough, and the bigger the lie, the more the people will believe it. And we have heard about the Big Bang for, I don't know, when Sir Hoyle came up with that, Fred Hoyle, H-O-Y-L-E. He just, can you imagine saying that? Just, I'm a scientist, and 13.8 billion years ago, nothing, absolutely nothing, exploded into everything you see today. And man, 89% of the children in America are indoctrinated with that every single year with absolutely no alternative. No intelligent design, no creation. The whole thing's flipped over. Back in 1927, the only thing you could teach was creation. In fact, what was the guy that they took to court about that? Okay, Scopes. And they ruled against Scopes, and they ruled in favor of creation. That's the one thing people don't know about the Scopes trial is he lost. But boy, things have changed in less than 100 years. It's totally flipped now. The only thing you can teach is evolution, the Big Bang theory, and it's taught as fact because Fred Hoyle did a wonderful favor to the human race and just said, 13.8 billion years ago, kablam! And now we have all this order. And boy, the more you think about that, the more you just like, all right, so let's draw a sword. We're going to have our first sword drill. Here's a verse in the Bible we should know before we get into a little bit of science tonight. If you have a Bible, what you do is you hold it up by the binding. I'm going to say a verse. You're going to repeat it. I'm going to say go. Then the first person who finds it, stand up and start reading it out loud. Okay, ready? Draw swords. 1 Timothy 6:20. Go. 1 Timothy 6:20. All right, so Timothy is supposed to avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called. Who can think from history of one opposition to the Bible that was taught by scientists in Timothy's day? Who can think of one? Anybody think of one? Okay, in Timothy's day, how many stars did scientists say existed? 1,000. Okay. I think it was around 1,026. One of the Ptolemies came along, found a few others, and said it was 1,056. They found a few more. All right. What does the Bible say about the stars? Let's draw swords. Draw swords. Hebrews 11:12. Go. Hebrews 11:12. Therefore, spraying every there even of one of the ten as good as well. Hebrews 11:12. Anybody? Yeah, therefore spraying the there even one of them. Well, keep going. Okay, it talks about the stars and the stands there, and there's other verses. You had it right, Tyler. So who got the first one? Ooh, 1-1. So, yeah, the stars and the sands, innumerable. That was biblical science in Timothy's day. The Bible said you couldn't count the stars. The scientist said there's 1,028. Then around Christ's time, another scientist added 28 more stars. There's 1,056. So that's an opposition of science falsely so-called. And we know the truth today is that you can't number the stars. One scientist I was watching said that there's enough stars for you or I to have 13 trillion of them. Each, and never have to share one star with another human being. You can have 13 trillion yourself. And you never have to give one to another human being because there's enough for them to have 13 trillion. And them and them and them. And there's 7.5 billion. I don't know what that number is. But that sounds like a lot of stars. And the Bible's right and the scientists were wrong in those biblical days. All right, so the question tonight is this, and so all I'm trying to do by way of introduction is saying somebody here is radically wrong. Either we as believers in Christ are radically wrong about this, or some of the so-called scientists or pseudoscientists are radically wrong about the Big Bang and other things. Both cannot be right. So here's a question. Is the earth young or old? And I have a seven-word answer that I have memorized and I have used. God made a young earth with age. God made a young earth with age. All right? That explains it. Some claim, let's look to the objection, or a objection, there's a lot of them, but some claim that diamonds, gemstones, brass, gold, and iron take millions of years to form. Therefore, the earth cannot be 6,000 years old, approximately, as the Bible teaches. Now, where do we come up with 6,000 years when we say the earth is about 6,000 years? How do we come up with such a number like that? Fred? Right, okay. By adding up the genealogies in the scriptures, which go all the way back to Adam, and it tells you how many generations and how old Adam lived and so on and so forth, by adding up those genealogies or generations, we come up with approximately 6,000 years old. And Jesus said when Adam and Eve were made, that was the beginning of the creation of the world. That's what Jesus said. So again, he's either wrong, badly wrong, or the scientists are. We think the earth is about 6,000 years old. So they have this objection. They say, well, wait a minute, diamonds take millions of years. And by the way, I don't know how they know that either. How do they know that? How do they know diamonds take millions of years, or gemstones, or brass, or iron, and so on? How do they know that? But they always try to talk so factually and talk down on you. Be careful. But here's our answer. The answer is that God made a young earth that was fully mature and functioning. He can do anything. We believe that. Now, what are some examples of that? Here's an illustration. God created Adam and Eve as fully mature grown adults. He made all the animals fully mature, all the plants, all the fishes in the ocean, all the birds in the air, all the mountains, hills, valleys, and streams, and I suppose all the stuff under the mountains too. He made it all fully mature and functioning. All right? In symbiotic relationships, stones and metals, which appear to some as millions of years old, were also made with age. Now, if you walked up to Adam and Eve the day you were created and said, how old are you? He said, one day. I'm one day old. You'd start laughing. See, you're not one day old. You look like you're about 30 or something. I don't know what we'd say, but he was one day old. Every day, you say, look at that big, huge giraffe. How old is that giraffe? 2 days old. God made that yesterday. And those bears and those dinosaurs. And you looked at all the animals. You went into the sea and looked at all the fishes and the whales and said, how old are those? They're about 2 days old. God made everything with age, everything fully mature in symbiotic relationships. Why couldn't he make diamonds and gemstones and brass and iron? When are these things mentioned? Well, on your notes there, Genesis 2 and verse 12, Genesis 4 and verse 22 already starts talking about gemstones and brass and gold and iron. Right at the beginning, it was there. God made a fully functioning earth. 6 days, completely ready to function, so that man from day one could start mining brass and iron and figuring out ways to use it. All right? Now, symbiotic relationships, I think, are one of the greatest evidences of creation. So number one, who can tell me what a symbiotic relationship is? And number two, who can give some examples? What is a symbiotic relationship? Anybody know? I'm ignoring him. Pastor. Okay, when organisms are mutually dependent upon each other to exist. Who's got some examples? John. Flowers and bees. Not just flowers and bees, trees and bees. You couldn't eat peaches or pears or prunes or plums. You couldn't eat anything like that if it wasn't for bees pollinating or cross-pollinating in the wind. But we need the bees. Absolutely necessary. That's a great symbiotic relationship. What's another one? There's actually thousands of them, Pastor. Us? Okay. All right. You said we've got 12 systems, and each one works separately and together. All right, very good. I think the eyeball has over 40 systems just in one, and your eyeball could not function if one of those systems broke down. And that's why Darwin, Charles Darwin, when he looked at the eyeball, called evolution and natural selection absolutely absurd. That's what he said about his own theory when he studied the eyeball. Of course, they only quote what they want to from Darwin, not the other stuff that he said. I collect quotes from him. He's got a lot of quotes where he did not believe his own theory. Fred. Humans and plants. Okay, carbon dioxide is given off by... We give off carbon dioxide. Plants give off oxygen. All right? They got to be together. You got to have plants and animals, us animals. Okay, we give off carbon dioxide. They take it, and the plants do, and change it into oxygen. It's a symbiotic relationship. There's a lot more. There's thousands of them, but yes. Okay, so a termite has to have bacteria inside of it, just like you have to have bacteria inside of it. I was so sick a few years ago because I was loaded with the wrong kind of bacteria, and they got that out of me. And the doctor, Dr. Fayez, said, you know, you need 80% good bacteria and 20% bad bacteria in a healthy human body. I said, wow, that's a symbiotic relationship. And the fact of the matter is, you look at the whole earth is a symbiotic relationship. There's only one explanation. It all had to be made at once to function together. And it's like blood. Take your blood over here. And this is what Pastor Seth was talking about, one of the systems. Then over here is all your heart, your arteries, your capillaries, your blood vessels, and so on. You got to have them both together. You didn't have the blood over here in a pool. And then some kind of an animal started developing a heart and blood vessels and capillaries and arteries, and then the blood decided, I think I'm just going to jump right into that and start that thing functioning. No, it has to all be made together and just... Oh, man. So anyways, let's go on here. Are there other evidences of a young earth besides symbiotic relationships where God made everything, and we talked about how God made everything fully mature when he started it up? Here are a few, and we'll go through these, and then maybe you have a couple others, and there's a lot of them. Other evidences of a young earth. Number one, at the rate the sun is shrinking and burning up, it would have been touching the earth's surface 20 million years ago. Okay? So in other words, the sun's getting smaller, it's shrinking. Which means it used to be bigger. And by the rate that it's shrinking, if you reverse it 20 million years ago, it would be touching the Earth's surface. Now, how hot is the sun's surface? About 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. What do you think that would do to this planet if it touched? When does life start dying? At what temperature? 108? 108? Now you think if the sun was touching the earth at 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit, all the life that was evolving probably would die? I think so. That's just 20 million. They're telling us this earth is over 100 million years old, right? When 4.5 billion, this earth. And the Big Bang was 13.8 billion or whatever, so yeah. That's something else, 4.6 billion, that's right. So, and you can take a million of these Earths we live on and put them inside of the sun. That's how big the sun is. That's how small we are. And man, that thing is just far enough away that we have hot summers, cold winters, four seasons. It's amazing. So that tells us the Earth has to be young. Number two, at the rate the moon is drifting away from the Earth, it would have been so close to the Earth 20 million years ago that the tides would flood the Earth twice a day. Number three, the current population of the Earth, 7.5 billion people, would be zero about 4,400 years ago based on population growth statistics, normal population growth statistics. Well, that's interesting. What happened 4,400 years ago? Oh, we got wet? Is that what you said? There was a worldwide flood, and there was eight people left to repopulate the earth. When I was born, there was 2.5 billion. 2.5 billion. Now there's 7.5 billion. And if you reverse that and keep going back by population, regular population growth statistics, the first humans were here about 4,400 years ago, and that would be Noah, Mrs. Noah, and their three sons and wives that survived the flood. The oldest known writings or historical records are about 5,000 years old. There is no such thing as prehistoric. That's a word that has been used thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times. Do people believe it? There is an adversary of the human race called the devil. He is the father of lies. That's what Jesus said. He's the father of lies. Prehistoric. No, Adam, he was pretty brilliant. He was the first human. And believe me, he was a lot smarter than Art Cole ever was. He was brilliant. He could name all the animals. What are some others? We've got to get moving here, but what are some others? What are some other evidences of young Earth? Kelly? Erosion marks on the Earth, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's from a worldwide flood. Plus erosion, the other erosion that we see today, when you see the rivers running, like Big Sister Creek in Angola, that thing's full of mud. It's bringing soil down. And making the earth flatter and flatter and flatter. Well, how high were they? If this thing's 4.6 billion years old, and erosion and erosion and erosion and erosion, how big was everything once? Anything else? There's a lot of them. Yes. The amount of coal, yeah. And the pressure. Okay. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. If you could look that up. I'm going to have you read the whole thing. All right, we got to go to our next answer here. Time's running. Wow. Our next question, rather. Why aren't dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? Why aren't dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? Answer, they are. They're called dragons. dragons. Isaiah 43:20, the beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Now, let me ask you this. Maybe somebody knows this. Approximately when did Isaiah live? A little more, about 700. That's close. 700 years before Christ. And he spoke about the dragons. The dragons. Let's have a sword drill. This is our last one. What's the score? 1-1? That's all we had? All right. Draw swords. Nehemiah 2:13. Go. Nehemiah 2:13. All right, when did Nehemiah live? Anyone want to take a guess about that? Approximately? You were pretty close earlier. About 400. Why would 400 years before Christ Nehemiah write about a dragon well? Because maybe there was a well for dragons. What's a dragon? What's the definition? If you looked it up in a dictionary, what's the definition of a dragon? Terrible lizard or reptile? All right. Lizards and reptiles just keep growing forever until they die. All right. They just keep growing. And a terrible lizard is what the word dinosaur means in the Bible. Or dragon, rather. Now, here's something else about dinosaurs. And this is where I think Satan really made a sleight of hand. On your notes here, by the way, the dragons are found in 16 verses. The word dragon in the singular is found in 18 other verses in the scripture. Sometimes they're symbolic, like the devil. He's called a great dragon. But the word refers to any sea, river, or land monster. Reptiles grow all their lives and never stop. Now, here's the sleight of hand by Satan. The word dinosaur was not invented until 1841 by Sir Richard Owen. As late as 1946, the English dictionary spoke of dragons living among men. That edition, the 1946, some of you were alive back then. The 1946 edition of the dictionary described dragons as, quote, now rare, end quote. Why would the dictionary say that? Maybe because in 1946, dragons were now rare. My, oh, my. What does the world tell us? When did the dragons go extinct, according to the world today? 65 million years ago, the dragons, or the dinosaurs, went extinct. But he's going to read us a description of a dinosaur, Brother Kelly. This one's called Behemoth. There's two of them mentioned in the book of Job. And then I got some piercing questions to ask after this, maybe. But go ahead, and if you want to turn to Job 40, Brother Kelly, verses 15 through 24.
Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth the grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong as pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the coverts of the reeds and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows out of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through the snares.
All right, here's a description of a creature that Job saw and described, named Behemoth. In verse 21, the fens talk about the swamps. That's what the word fens means. But God says in verse 15, behold now, Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. And thank you, Brother Kelly. That'll be all for now. And then it talks about this description of a dinosaur. Now, notice your notes. How could anybody in Job's day describe these land and sea monsters in such detail if they had been extinct for 65 million years? The first bones of a dinosaur were not put together for a museum until 1809. How could Job know such specifics? He probably what? Yeah, he probably saw them. That's what we believe. But how would the people of the world answer this? 65 million years ago, they say dinosaurs went extinct. The first fossil composition of a dinosaur was in 1809. Job lived a long time before that. How could he give such specifics of a dinosaur if there was no fossils like we have today? No pictures, no cell phones, no written history about them, no oral history. Was there humans 65 million years ago who started passing down an oral history and somehow it went without any change for 65 million years and then Job repeated it? How could Job write this unless he saw them? Because there was no pictures. There was no written history of them. He must have saw them. There's no other explanation for that. We didn't read chapter 41, which is Leviathan, and that's the sea monsters. The sea monsters. I think that's a great argument. I think it's a great argument to ask somebody, how could he write the details of a land dinosaur and a sea monster and be so accurate? See, now the fossils today prove Job was right. Not that evolution was right, but that Job was right by his description. And we didn't have the fossils till 1809. That's a long time after Job. I just come to the conclusion Job must have seen something. And he wrote it down. Brother Kelly. I opened up a can of Snapple once. Did you ever see the facts underneath the lids? Facts. It says the only living dinosaurs today are chickens. And I'm looking at that. Fact number. Man, alive. Wow, what a bizarre world. What a bizarre world we live in. Yes.
Yeah, sure.
But what did the Holy Spirit say? Verse 15. Behold now a behemoth which I made with thee, that eateth grass as an ox. And then, do you wonder how the dinosaurs went extinct, if they are extinct? I mean, there's places where we have not even come close to discovering. Verse 19 tells us, he is the chief of the ways of God. Notice, he that made him, God, can make his sword to approach unto him. I'll tell you how the dinosaurs went extinct. God finished them off. And there were a lot of dragon slayers. Now, I'll just say this. If this would help you for science purposes only, I do not agree with his theology. I don't agree with his behavior. I don't agree with his sarcasm. But Dr. Kent Hovind has a wonderful 30-minute seminar on dinosaurs that I wish every kid in America could see. The science, again, I don't agree with his theology or his behavior or sarcasm, but the science in that is amazing. Amazing. And if you haven't seen it yet, I can get you a free copy. And you can give it to your grandkids and so on and so forth. And it's just a tremendous, tremendous 30-minute. And he even brings up the question, are there dinosaurs on Earth today that'll blow your mind? Blow your mind. So why aren't dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? They are. They're called dragons. They're called behemoth. They're called Leviathan. And there's no way Job could make up something like that if they went extinct 65 million years ago. He had no means of seeing them where we can see their fossils today and draw a sketch based on the fossils. But, all right. That's about it for tonight. So we sure appreciate you coming. I hope these things maybe will help your faith. And is the earth old or young? It's a young earth. God made a young earth with age. Seven words. That's our answer. God made a young earth with age. He can do anything. He's all-powerful. He's omnipotent. Why aren't dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? Because the word wasn't invented till 1841. But dragons are in there, and in detail. So, all right, let's pray. Father,